Hi, I'm Bob Tabor with www.learnvisualstudio.net, where I teach beginners the skills they need to get their first software development job building Windows and web apps at the world's best companies as quickly as possible. So we've seen the Windows Phone emulator at work already in this series so far. It's a crucial component to developing apps for the Windows Phone platform. So I wanted to spend a little time to become more familiar with the functionality of the emulator and maybe point you in the right direction for some additional information about it. So in this lesson, we're going to learn about the phone emulator, what it really is, and how it supplies different versions for different deployment scenarios. We're going to learn about the function of the emulator, including keyboard shortcuts that you can use that will simulate depressing the various physical buttons on a physical device, such as on the face and on the side here. And then we're also going to talk about this little toolbar here that floats off to the right-hand side that will allow us to resize and rotate the emulator, and how to handle the virtual machine as if it were a physical device. So how to get accelerometer support, GPS support, and the like, only using this virtual machine, the phone emulator. So what exactly is the Windows Phone emulator? Well, in a nutshell, it's just a desktop application that simulates a Windows device, and it actually has similar performance to what you would expect on a physical device. It provides a virtualized environment in which you can debug and test your apps without having to have a phone in hand. In fact, the emulator is running Microsoft's Hyper-V, which is their virtualization software. So if you're familiar with that, that should mean something to you. So up to now, whenever we clicked the Run button to start debugging our applications that we've been building, we've just accepted the default emulator, which is this Emulator 8.1 WVGA 4-inch 512 megabyte default. But if we were to drop down the list, you can see that there's many other options as well, including one to actually deploy to a device. So if we had it hooked up, and if the phone was running the 8.1 operating system, then we could debug our apps on the phone itself. Unfortunately, as I'm recording this video, it's a little early for that, not ready for that, so I can't demonstrate that feature. However, what we can take a look at are some of the different form factors, screen sizes, and things of that nature. Now, as we look through this list, you can see that there's a number of different resolutions. This WVGA, 720p, and this 1080p. Let's start with this 512. What does this really mean? Well, it indicates that we're running in a memory constrained environment. So the default emulator image that we're running here right now, this virtual machine image that's running, it's emulating a memory constrained Windows Phone 8.1 phone. So for example, the Lumia 610 is an inexpensive entry level phone that can run Windows Phone 8.1. It only has 256 megs of RAM. And by contrast, the phone that I have in hand here, the Lumia 920, has a gig of RAM. And some of the newer phones even have more than that. So on the lower RAM devices, having multiple apps running at the same time or creating a memory intensive app could cause performance problems. So to be sure that your app will run well on those types of lower end devices, lower RAM devices, you can test your app using a realistic emulator image. So, and there's a number of great articles about RAM usage on MSDN. Let me point you out to just a couple that I found. Admittedly, these are articles for Windows Phone 8, but the concepts are still true in Windows Phone 8.1. So here's the first one, is this app performance consideration for Windows Phone 8. And then this blog post, optimizing apps for lower cost devices. You should take these into consideration before launching your and trying to sell your app on the App Store. So back to our discussion of the default image that's being used here, this Emulator 8.1 WVGA. We looked at the 512 megabit. What does this WVGA stand for? Well, The emulator allows you to test your app on a unique emulator image for each of the screen resolutions that are supported by Windows Phone. This default selection encourages you to target the largest possible market for your Windows Phone 8.1 app. And so there are several resolutions that are available. WVGA is the one that we're working with, and that supports an 800 by 480 screen resolution. However, there's also this WXGA, which is could be essentially the same screen size, but a higher resolution of 1280 by 768. And then there's the 720p, which is 1280 by 720. And then finally, the 1080p, which is 1920 by 1080. So if you run the default, like we've done here, and we go back out to the settings, so let's go all the way down, and if you go to the about, which should be near the bottom, yeah, here we go, you can see that this is confirmed whenever you hit the more info button. You can see here that we have a resolution of 480 by 800, okay. So how does that translate into actual phones on the market? How do these options that we see here, the various screen sizes, WVGA, XGA, 720, and 1080p? Well, the Lumia 1520 seems to be the largest of the phones currently available. There were some announcements made during build of some newer phones that are coming onto the market, but the 1520 is 6 inches, has a 6-inch screen, and is a full 1080p, the 1920 by 1080. The Lumia Icon, another popular model, is only 5 inches, but it still has the full 1080p. The Lumia 1020, and then this is the Lumia 920, it has the WXGA support, so 1280 by 768. And then, like I said a little bit earlier, the Lumia 610 is only a 3.7-inch screen, and it supports the WVGA, which is 800 by 480. So, yeah, and I realize that by the time you watch this, there will probably be newer phone models available, but the point is that you should be aware of the fact that you'll need to support different screen resolutions and memory constraints, and the emulator will help you try out your app in the various different screen resolutions just to see how things are laid out and perhaps some ways in which you could improve the layout for a given screen size. So I'm not going to spend a lot of time talking about the basic functionality of the emulator itself. If you're familiar with the Windows Phone, you should know how to find your way around between the start screen and all the apps that are available, and how you can, you know, jump to a certain grouping of apps based on the letter in their name, and how to work with, for example, the settings and change not only things like the themes and things of that nature, but other features. And many of these in the emulator are not completely implemented because, again, we're not dealing with a physical device, we're dealing with a software emulation of the device. And furthermore, many of the apps too, like for example, Bing Finance, at least on this particular version of the emulator, a pre-beta, I guess you could say, or a release candidate, it doesn't have those sorts of things supported. However, having said all of that, it's almost identical to the experience you would have with the physical phone in every way, in terms of the look and the feel, how to navigate around, and things of that nature. And so you even have at the very bottom the same buttons that you would have on the physical phone, with go back, start, the Windows start button, and then also the search button, okay? And there's also, for example, my Lumi has three buttons here on the side for volume and for power and for taking a picture, and those are represented, as you can see, barely on the side here of the emulator as well. And there's a list of keyboard mappings here at this webpage, how to use a computer keyboard with the emulator for Windows Phone 8. These apply to Windows Phone 8.1 as well. And so, for example, it might be more convenient, since it's difficult to press these buttons on the side here for power and for volume up, volume down, to actually use their equivalent with the function keys on your keyboard. All right. Additionally, you can see that you have some options like pushing down the camera button halfway versus full, and so on. Additionally, ones that are most pertinent to me, like for example, if we were to go to Internet Explorer here, and let's just go recommended, and I put my mouse cursor inside of the location bar, I can use the page up and the page down buttons to remove or to show the keyboard, okay? And so, for example, I can just use, if I go page up, there we go, www, or how about this, channel9.msdn.com. All right, and so you can see that currently build is going on right now. But at any rate, it's mostly a full functioning version of Internet Explorer, and some of the other apps are fully functioning as well. Okay, so let's move our attention now to this floating toolbar off to the right-hand side. Obviously, we can minimize, we can close down the entire emulator. I would encourage you not to do that. You don't need to shut down the emulator every time you stop debugging. So as you can see, the very first time that I run my app for a given programming session, it will bring up the emulator, and when I stop debugging, the emulator will still stay on my screen. It's great. You should do that. Leave it running, because it takes a little longer to boot it up, since you're essentially rebooting the whole operating system every time. And so the arrow key allows me to use like a single finger, whereas I can use this other option to do the pinching or the other motion, the reverse pinch, which will allow me to zoom in and zoom out. So I want to move the single point input as opposed to multi-touch input. I can change the rotation of the device and see how my app responds to rotation if I've built in the correct layout to accommodate that. I can turn it, keep rotating it in various directions. I can fit the emulator to as large as it will go for my screen, or I can choose to use the zoom and set the zoom level down a little bit lower to 50% in this particular case. Right now the help button doesn't really work. Again, I suspect that's the version of this emulator that I'm currently working with. I think that it's just a matter of not being ready just yet. However, what is interesting is the double chevron icon, which opens up this tools menu, and we're going to spend a little time talking about this. On the tools, additional tools dialog, there are 8 tabs, and so we'll just go through each one by one. You can take, for example, this little orange point, and you can move the phone around. And if your app supports this type of accelerometer support, then you'll see different things appear here in on the page, because we're basically laying it flat on a table versus picking it up and holding it straight up. You can see that there are some presets here, like portrait flat, portrait standing, and things of that nature. We can reset it, and then also recorded data, for example, the shake. Now you won't see anything on screen except for the X, Y, and Z going crazy, and that's because it simulates somebody taking the phone and shaking it around, all right? Next up is location, and this will help you test the GPS support in the phone. So for example, if I were to search for Chicago, Illinois, where I grew up, and I can then zoom in a little bit to find the exact neighborhood where I grew up, I can right-click to set a pin, or I'm sorry, I can actually left-click to select and set a pin, and that will show the exact latitude and longitude for that pin drop there, point number one, and I can set additional ones as well. And also here in the accuracy profile, I can introduce variance to the accuracy. In some areas, there are fewer ways to determine the exact location because there are fewer physical resources like cell phone towers and so on that are typically used to help triangulate the location of the phone. So the accuracy profile allows you to adjust this to test your app and how it performs in less accurate scenarios. So for example, if you're in a rural setting, you would expect the accuracy to be less. I'm not sure that it's completely working right now, but or maybe it can be edited somehow, but they all seem to be functioning with exact numbers. So I'm just gonna move on from there and go to the screenshot so I can take a capture of whatever's inside of the phone that's currently displayed inside the main window. And I can use that for debugging purposes. I can copy this, save it off to my hard drive, and then send it off as a bug report or whatever the case might be. The network tab just shows you the network adapter and the IP address and things of that nature. So that might be helpful if you're developing an application that's network aware. Additionally, there's this enable network simulation to throttle the bandwidth of the phone. So let's say, for example, your app you want to test it to see what would happen if there is no network currently. Will the app crash? Will it hang? Can I deliver a better error message or user experience? Or what if the data is coming down with 2G and it's very slow? Or what if it's a little bit faster and maybe I can change it to poor signal strength with a very slow connection? So that allows us to enable various network scenarios. Very cool. Here is the SD card. We can designate a specific folder on our hard drive to simulate an SD card that's removable. So if we want to print data to the SD card, we can then go into that particular folder on our hard drive where we're developing our app and see exactly what was written and so on, because that will simulate what will be written then to any SD cards that are inside of the physical phone. Notifications, this is for simulating push notifications. We're not going to talk about that in this series at all. There are checkpoints. So if you think in terms of, if you're familiar with virtual machines, you are able to save essentially the current state of this virtual machine, of the emulator as it is right now, as a checkpoint. So this allows you to test a scenario where the phone is configured in a certain way, and you can just keep testing that scenario over and over and over by restoring the specific checkpoint that you made at a given point in time. So think again of virtual machine snapshots, because that's really what's happening here behind the scenes. And then finally, you can select which sensors that you want to enable on this virtual emulator and what happens if given device does not have support for those sensors. You can turn off NFC and the gyroscope if your app is expecting those to work, and you can see what the experience will be for the users who don't have those enabled. All right, so that pretty much wraps up all the emulator itself, and there are some areas where we could go into more depth, but they're really specialized depending on which features you're trying to enable inside of your app. There is something that I pointed out previously. Let's see if I can find it here. I think what you have to do is actually open up a XAML page, and then yes, it appears here. So there's this device option. We talked about this to some extent. It's not quite the same thing as the emulator, but it's similar in so much that it's a tool that helps you during development time. So let's reduce down the size of our designer, and then open up, actually move it over here a little bit more and move it there, and then open up the device. And we can change, for example, the accent, whether we want it to be a dark theme or a light theme, whether we want to show the chrome around the window in the designer surface, whether we should show the status bar at the very top with cell phone signal and battery and things of that nature. And we can also choose like the orientation, so we can try different layouts while we're developing. And then finally, we can choose different scales, 9x15, 9x16, different resolutions, whether we want to use WVGA, XGA, 720p, or 1080p. And this will make our screen very large. Obviously, let's go ahead and reduce this down even more to like 20%. So we can see that we have even more space to lay out controls and maybe stack things a little bit differently based on what we see at the different display options that we have. So let's go ahead and set that back. All right. So as you see, there are many ways to test and monitor your app during development time and debug time, so you can gain some confidence in how it'll perform when you distribute it to the store. One note, Microsoft does recommend, though, that you do deploy your app to a physical device and test it before you submit it to the store, and I would encourage you to do that as well, to see really how it performs on a real device, not just trust the emulation software. All right, so to recap, the emulator is a great tool that allows you to quickly deploy your app during development to a virtualized Windows phone. We looked at how to test different device sizes and memory constraints and how to manipulate the emulator to test for rotation and motion and how to make the phone think that it's geographically located in Chicago as opposed to Dallas, as opposed to Seattle. All right. And we're going to use these skills throughout this series as we add various features to the apps that we build. So that's all I have to say about the emulator. Hopefully that was helpful, and we'll pick it back up in the next lesson. We'll see you there. Thank you.